Anything's possible, but I did not see it on the shelf. At any rate, we're going to start here with the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Today will be a quick daf, assuming that we don't get derailed. Famous last words, yeah. Shouldn't be too bad today. Okay, Yud Beis Amud Aleph on the third line. The Amr of Chizda. Okay, we pick up with essentially a new sugya. And this sugya, as opposed to the previous sugya, is talking about Tanesim. So, how do you like that? Sechel Zion is talking about Tanesim. V'amar of Chizda, kol tainis shelo shaka alav chama, lav shmei tainis. Any tainis in which you have not lasted the entire day, you haven't gone through shkia sachama. Now, is shkia sachama really just shkia sachama? Because we know that when we're fasting typically through so it could be that this Gemara is really lav dafka. The point is that you can't just take upon yourself a fast and then finish at 4 p.m. That is not a fast.
So that contradicts our previous Gemara that said that you could take that couple-hour fast?
So if a person is mekabel upon himself a tainis shaos, so a tainis shaos, as we mentioned, a tainis shaos must last through to the evening. You might be able to be mekabel a tainis shaos at midday and then take it until the end of the day. But you wouldn't be able to take a tainis shaos from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. That wouldn't be a tainis shaos. It wouldn't be a valid tainis. Now, as we'll see in later Gemaras, I think, that doesn't mean that what you did is completely invalid. It's not completely invalid. There's still some value to what you did, but it doesn't have a shame tainis. Why does it matter if it has a shame tainis? Well, we mentioned at least one nafkamina is the tefilas aneinu. You can't say aneinu if you're not mekabel upon yourself a formal tainis. So according to this Gemara, you would need the tainis to go through until at least shkia sachama, probably tseisa kachama, in order to be a valid tainis. Have a shame tainis.
There are people on Erev Rosh Hashanah, for instance.
Yes, good point. Good point. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a minig to just fast until chatzos. So there's such a thing. It's not called a tainis, but there's a value to it, right? There's schar to it. There's a kapara to it. There's what have you. There's certainly value to such a thing.
I think you say a name, right?
Do you say aneinu?
Well, if you only go to midday, if you only go to midday, then you're going to say aneinu when you're not fasting anymore?
You're saying maybe shacharis. You say aneinu. I don't think you say aneinu.
Because usually only the chazan says aneinu by shacharis. We talked about this, right?
Right, but this is not a tainis tibur. This is a tainis yakid.
I don't think it even has a chalos shame tainis. I think it just has you're refraining from eating. But it doesn't have I don't think you say aneinu.
In our mindset, it seems like it would have value, but in the times of the Gemara, refraining from eating for 2 hours, how does that even have any real substance?
2 hours. Well,
even so, it's not like everybody was having exactly, and you're not having this lavish meal at that. So, I think that just like the threshold is different in comparison.
Agreed. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. They had a different. They had a. They had an easier time going without food. We're a little bit more spoiled. I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question.
So how would it make them so holy to go without food if it was so easy for them?
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's his question. It's not as big a deal.
In our generation, if you would have like mamash atinus for the seaboard, it would be a really big thing. But yeah. In the times of the Gemara, when people are trying to physically get food on the table at any point, and it's bits and pieces at best, for them to say that we're going to refrain from eating, it's like we're going to refrain from swimming in the pool of the four seasons as well. Okay, we weren't there.
But it's not the tzara.
Yeah, it's like, okay, congratulations, you're not really doing it.
All right. I hear. I don't know the answer. At any rate, the Gemara goes on and says, how can you tell me that it's not called a valid tainis unless you go through the day into the night? Meisve, I'll bring you a brisa that contradicts that. The Gemara says on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, which we will get to very soon, Anshei Mishmar Misanin Velo Mashlimin. Now we know that the Kohanim, were broken up into groups, and those groups were broken up into subgroups. So, for example, if we had a total of 2,400 Kohanim in or around Yerushalayim, those 2,400 Kohanim, and you'll see soon why I picked the number 2,400, but those Kohanim would be broken up into Mishmaros. 24 groups of Mishmaros, of watches, and those groups would take turns every week on guarding and taking care of the Mikdash, doing the Avodah and the Mikdash. So if you had 2,400 Kohanim, and there were 24 Mishmaros, so then you had basically twice a year in which each Mishmar, roughly, in which each Mishmar would take its week. And 100 Kohanim would take their weekly turn at guarding and watching over the Mikdash and the Korbanos. Of those 100, let's say, they were broken down into subgroups, which were called Batei Avos. We'll get to this on Adav Tesvav. But the Batei Avos were subgroups of the greater group of Kohanim that came for the week. And those Batei Avos were broken up into seven. And
six.
Each group... What?
Six.
And what happened on Shabbos?
Everybody.
Everybody collected on Shabbos. Okay, everybody came together on Shabbos. Okay, you're right. It's a Mishnah in Tainus, which I haven't gotten to yet. But they were broken up into six groups. And so approximately 15 or 16, let's say, Kohanim would serve each day. And that would be the subgroup called the Beis Av. At any rate, the Anshe Mishmar, says the Braisa, the Anshe Mishmar, meaning the group of 100, or the weekly group, Misanim Velo Mashlimin. During this time that the Tzibor, in total, in general, was Mekabel upon themselves a fast, the Anshe Mishmar would fast, but they would not complete the fast. They would go, let's say, until Chatzos. Yet, the Braisa says, it's called Misanim. So they're actually fasters. So how can you tell me that unless you go until the end of the day, you're not called a faster, it's not called a tainus? It says over here, Mefurish, it's a tainus. So the Gemara says, no. It's not really a tainus. Hasam l'tzu'uri nafsha v'almahu. They weren't doing it as a formal tainus. And when the Gemara says misanim, it doesn't really mean that they fasted in the formal sense, but rather they were just being mitzar themselves. Like we learned earlier in the previous daf, that when the tzibor is in tsar, you need to be in tsar with them. So they would do the same thing. As a token gesture, they would fast, let's say, until chatzos, or a few hours of the day, just to show that they are not separating themselves from the klal. But don't get the impression that it was a tainus, because it was not. Toshma, says the Gemara, I have another brisa that's going to contradict you. Da'am Rabbi Lazar b'Rab Tzadok. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Tzadok, says, "Ani mibnei banav shel son of Ben Binyamin. I am the, of the descendants of son of the son of Binyamin." Now, a little background on this is that during the times of the second Mikdash, when the Olei Bavel were coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to rekindle the Beis Hamikdash and whatnot, so when they did so, they were short on wood for the Ma'aracha, for the Mizbeach. So there were nine families, one of which was son of Ben Binyamin. Nine families that stepped up, and from their collective storages, they donated wood to the Mikdash to be used for the Mizbeach until such time that the Mikdash was able to replenish its stock of wood.
So these families remained in Eretz Israel. They have some wood.
Yeah.
Everyone comes back, and then they give the stock on. They have settlement.
Lechora. That's what seems to be happening. I don't think they came from Bavel with their wood on their shoulder. I think that they've got probably better things to be carrying.
People were exiled to Bavel, or people were in Eretz Yisrael, and then everybody else?
I don't know. I would imagine that they were in Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody was in Bavel. There were people living in Eretz Yisrael, so I would imagine that they were also living in Eretz Yisrael, and they had storages of wood, and they contributed from their own in order to get the Mizbeach up and running, so to speak, until such time that the Mizbeach was able to self-sustain. So one of the families was son of Ben Binyamin. And because of this, and because the Chachamim at the time were so appreciative of this donation, every year they made it a Yom Tov for this family and for this family's family and descendants and generations that succeeded them, that it would be their day. It would be their day. That would be a yomtiv for that family, and that family would bring wood, and it would be a yomtiv. It would be a yomtiv for that family. And despite the fact that the mikdash years later had its own wood, it became a yomtiv, a kavua yomtiv for this particular family, and that's what was going to be for Dorus. That family was going to bring its wood, and they were going to have its yomtiv on that day. And Son of Ben Binyamin's day was the 10th of Tisha B'Av. The 10th of Av. What?
10th of Av.
10th. Tisha B'Av was Tisha B'Av, and their day was the 10th of Av.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Wait, so they're making it like a Sudas Yom Tov, or they're taking on
it seems like they made
Malachas of Yom Tov.
Oh, no, I don't think that they were also Malacha. I think it was a Sudas Yom Tov type of thing. It was declared a happy day. Like, for example, one who has a Bris Mila. Okay, a Bris Mila on that day, it's a Yom Tov delay. So if you daven with him, you don't have to say tachlin. He doesn't have to. If it's a nidche, I think the Torah writes if it's a Tisha B'Av nidche, then he doesn't even have to fast, or he fasts only to midday, and then he can break it, something like that. At any rate, son of exactly. If you time it right, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, Ani mi b'nei banav shel son of Binyamin. I am of the descendants of the great son of Ben Binyamin. There happened to be one time Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, v'dachinu, and they pushed it off. Chazal pushed it off because it was a Tisha B'Av nidche. Tisha B'Av is not celebrated on Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we make it a nidche, and we instead commemorate Tisha B'Av on the 10th. And so they pushed it off until after Shabbos. V'hisaninu bo v'lo hishlamnuhu. And we fasted on that day, but we did not complete the fast. So we only went until let's say Chasos. And then we had a party. So that's what we did. We had a party. So they said, we fasted. So it sounds like there was a formal tainus. Even though, of course, they did not complete the fast. Nevertheless, they called it a tainus. They called it a fast. So what's the pshat? You want to tell me that a fast only exists.
Only
that group of Kohanim did not complete the fast. Exactly. Everybody else, meaning the descendants of that family, right? The descendants could have been many different families.
It's like that mishmar, right? It's a mishmar?
It wasn't the mishmar. No, that's a different thing. What we learned before was about the mishmaros. This is talking about nine random families that, during the times of the second mikdash, contributed wood to the ma'aracha, to the mizbeach.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with mishmaros. Do not get them confused.
Okay.
It sounds like you already did.
No, I did, but now I'm not.
Very good.
Because you said I shouldn't.
Very
That's
good. Okay. Okay. So... We did not complete the fast because it was our Yom Tov. So we see over here that despite the fact that they did not complete the whole fast, they called it a tainus. And if it talks like a tainus, and if it walks like a tainus, chances are it's a tainus. So, sounds like a tainus. So the Gemara says, no, do not get such an impression. No. They were not really fasting. They were just trying to be part of the klal, you know? Buddy, with the people who are fasting. So, really, it wasn't a tainus bechlal. It wasn't a real formal tainus. They were just being mitzayer themselves because everybody else was mitzayer themselves with a fast. So, in order to not be Porish Minat Sibor, they did the same. But it wasn't a formal tainus. So that's not a rat.
Doesn't this, bring a pretty heavy question in that if you have a halakha reason not to complete the fast, and the halakha not complete the fast takes precedence over fasting, do you get credit for fasting? In other words, you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing everything right. It's like, is it called breaking Shabbos if you have to say something? It's like, no, it's not called breaking Shabbos. So it's not like you're getting punished for it. So I'm saying if you have a reason to break the tainus, which is a legitimate level of reason, you get credit for fasting.
What do you mean by credit?
Not credit. What's the word?
There are certain halachic implications to fasting. Like we mentioned Aneinu, for example. Will you be able to say Aneinu because you didn't fast, but you had to fast, but you had to break your fast? Okay? Because you had to go to the hospital, you had a heart attack, you had to Halila or whatever it is, you had to break your fast. You say Aneinu? No, you don't say Aneinu. Are you punished for having broken a fast that you should not have broken? Of course not. Do you get credit, like is there brownie points in Shamayim? I'll say yes. I'll give you the brownie points.
I am
Hashem's accountant. I will reconcile all the debits and credits for you. So, he goes to Electric Accounting Services. He uses Electric Accounting Services. So, what? God, give him a little hanacha. Come on, he's God. So,
kind of like George Burns.
So, look, the Gemara says, it might be a Gemara later in Tainus. The Gemara says that if you're not mitzar yourself during the Churban Bayis, you know, on Tisha B'Av, if you're not mitzar yourself, so then you're not in a row b'sim chaso. So it doesn't apply to somebody who has to break his fast. I mean, it's not, you're not in the same parsha. Do you get credit as a brownie point or not?
I think a couple of people bring sound though, but if your heart is there to do something, whatever the external reason is, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
You get
credit.
Whatever
credit
means.
Nechanami. I remember such a thing. I don't know how it manifests itself either. Luchori, you can apply the same thing to the Tainus. I mean, I don't see why not. I guess we'll find out. It's one of those things.
What about the issue of the individual Yom Tov, the Suda's Yom Tov that they're putting here that supersedes communal Sibor?
Yeah.
Or a Sibor, a Tainus Sibor?
Yeah.
How is that valid, that this group can negate the broader Minhag Yisrael?
The broader Minhag Yisrael of the Tainus?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, it wouldn't apply in a regular Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos, but Tisha B'Av, it would not apply. Because it's a nidche, so it's already coming with certain leniencies. Because it's a nidche, so they allowed it to happen. They allowed it to. They allowed a minhag kadum. It's a yomtiv kadum. It's very. It's not a brand new yomtiv. So it's. I mean, it's. It is a kula. But like I said, the Torah does paskin that a person who has a bris mila on the 10th of Av, that's a nidche. He can actually eat during Av. He can eat after Chatzos. It's an incredible thing. I mean, it's Tisha B'Av. I mean, it's Tisha B'Av Nidche. But it's a Sar B'Av, which is like Tisha B'Av. But you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to. It's
halachah l'maaseh.
I believe. I don't know if we pass on the tour brings it down. I don't know if it's actually brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that way. But I think the tour says it. I think it might be halachah l'maaseh tak. I think it might be not just even for the Baal Bris. I think it might be for the Sandik, and it might be for the Moel too. So it's an incredible, thing. We'll have to see. I have to look it up, see if it's halacha lemaisa. But I seem to remember something like that in Mishabura. Anyway, so we have such a thing. Okay, next case says the Gemara Tashma. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ehe betainis. I'm going to be sitting in Tainis. He says the word Tainus, right? That's the magic word.
Yeah.
What's the magic word? Tainus. He said a hey, but Tainus. That's the name of the Masechta too. Adsha Avalabesi, until I come to my house. He's obviously not going to come to his house after Tzeis. He's going to get there later that day, but he says, I have a Tainus. So you see, the Tainus could even exist. Well, what did I say? The Tainus will even exist even if the guy's not fasting the whole day. So the Gemara says, maybe. The Gemara says, "Hasim l'shmute nafshim mibein asiyahu da'avid." No, this was a different case. Rabbi Yochanan was invited to a meal with the nasi, and he needed to squeak out of it. So what did he do? He pulled the old "no, I'm fasting" trick. It's the oldest trick in the book. No, I'm fasting. Right? How many times have I used that one? Boy, if I had a nickel for every time I said "no, I'm fasting." I probably wouldn't be
probably
very
have
I probably, I probably have an extra nickel in my pocket. Maybe.
I somehow schedule every visit to my in-laws where there's a fast day. So they're always looking, it's like, oh, what's going on? You're going to come to the boat? It's like, no, I'm actually...
Are your in-laws not from?
No.
Oh, that's very good. Very key. Excellent.
I just said, I don't
want to
go.
Yeah, sorry. Just don't want the beer. So very good. So that's again, it's not a lashon of tainus. He's just doing it to squeak out of it. So it's not really a tainus. Okay, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, this is the Gemara that we saw this. We touched on this before. Amar Shmuel kol tainus shlo kibel alav mi ba'od yom. Any tainus where there was no kabbalah from the previous day, lav shmei tainus. That's not a good tainus. So you can't just fast or I should say, you can't just not eat, deprive yourself of eating, of food, and then say, oh, I've been fasting, I'm going to say anenu. It happens to be, I haven't had breakfast and I haven't had lunch, so I'm davening mincha now and say anenu. Doesn't work that way. If you did not do a Kabbalah with the previous day, from the previous day, it is lav shmei tainis. It is not a tainis. The Rush learns this is even what the tainis shows. We're not going to get into that. But anyway, says the Gemara, v'i yasiv mai, what if he does sit? He sits in fast, but he didn't. He wasn't mekabel, so he didn't have a Kabbalah. But he's just sitting there. He's not eating, right? Because he's been working on his tax returns since morning, and it's right now 2:00 in the afternoon. It's time to daven mincha. So what does he do? So the Gemara, what's his din?
He didn't have any plans.
What?
He didn't have plans. He just didn't eat.
Just didn't eat. He didn't make a Kabbalah. He just didn't eat.
That's what I do.
That's what you do. So what's the din? So what is the din of Avi? Callus over here. I'm a rabbi barshila. Dami la mafucha d'mal yazika. It is similar to a bellow that is full of air. Basically, you're full of hot air. Okay? Essentially, basically, what the Gemara is saying is, it's nothing. You've done nothing. Right? You've just blown hot air. That's all you've done, Callus.
No, my fault.
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying. The Gemara is saying that what you've done is nothing. It's nil. It's Cornish. There's nothing for it. You can't just sit and not eat and say that you're a pious one. You are not a pious one.
Your in-laws probably think you're really pious if every time they see you, that's
why. Well, yeah, yeah, exactly.
They have no idea.
Wow.
They have no idea how full.
They must think you're like. They must think you're a monk.
He's on a fast.
Every single time I see them, and on top of it, there's like kosher supermarkets. So like, but you're also like marinating meat, and it's like, I'm not gonna be fasting forever.
Right. Yeah.
They really think I'm like some sort of aesthetic.
Yeah, it must be an aesthetic. You're like the greatest.
Before they think you're nuts and that it's too hard to
film. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not convincing them anytime soon that because of this practice, everything will work out for them. Maybe. Probably not.
I get it. I get it. All right, anyway. Says the Gemara, if Shmuel says that you must be mekabel atinus beforehand, amos mekabele. When do you have to be mekabel? Exactly when? We said the previous day, so can you do it at shacharis time? Says the Gemara, no. Rav amar b'mincha. Rav says it's got to be around mincha time. Shmuel amar b'tfilas amincha. Shmuel says it has to be specifically in a formal prayer. So it's got to be at mincha time, not just mincha time, but at the tfilas mincha. You have to actually, before you say Elokai Netzor, you have to say, I'm going to be mekabel upon myself a fast. That's
in
how
it's...
In the Amida you say it. Now,
there's a specific lashon that you insert, or it's...
I don't think so. I think you can just make a declaration.
That's
but it's a little bit bizarre, but we have such things, even as Shema Koleinu and for Elokai Netzor. He's looking it up right now. What?
I wouldn't think that you have to say, I don't want to say level of impact, Shema Koleinu is important, but it's not the halakhic implication of your action isn't as...
Shmuel actually holds it's the very opposite. Shmuel holds that because you're doing it in a formal prayer, it becomes more formalized. Rather than, according to Rav, you just do it stam. You just stam say, I'm going to take a fast, and you're walking to work, and you're saying, tomorrow I'm going to fast. There's no formality in that, so that doesn't have any impact. It doesn't have any.
You're talking about
Tainis Yachid, right? Tainis Yachid, good old Tainis Yachid, Tainis Sibor. That's already kavua. We don't need to make such a declaration.
It's not conditional on you.
It's not conditional on you. No, we're talking about being Makabla fast before the Anenu.
Before the day of the fast.
Right. I don't know if this is a...
By the way, does somebody who takes a Tanis Yachid, on the day of the Tanis Yachid, does he say Slichos in the morning?
On the day of the Tanis Yachid, does he say Slichos? I would think not.
Without the Yud Gimel Midos.
I would think not. It's a good question. I would think not. I would think that the Slichos are a formalized prayer for a Tzibor. I don't know. This is a very good Shmuel Katz question. And since you live right next to Shmuel Katz, you are going to ask... Dolev is all Dolev. I don't care. it's all belief. It's all belief. I'm expecting an answer from you. I think you're up to like 5 billion questions already. You have to get me back on. So you have some homework to do. Thank you very much for volunteering. So says the Gemara. Machlokas Rav Shmuel. Rav says it doesn't have to be so formalized, and Shmuel holds that no, it should be in a formal prayer. It should be in Tefillas Mincha itself. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, this is an interesting raya that he brings. He says, Kavasi de Shmuel Mestabra. It is logical like Shmuel. Why? Dichsev b'Megillas Tainis. Because it says in Megillas Tainis. Now, what is Megillas Tainis? For those of you who have been with me for Rosh Hashanah and are still with me in Tainis, good for you. And for those of you who have not been with me in Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to tell you what the Megillas Tainis is. Megillas Tainis is, there are certain holidays, so to speak, that the Rabbanan instituted. They were not originally part of the general Tainis Tzibors that we had, but there were certain days that were joyous days that were instituted on the spot as Yom Tov days. Days that we're going to celebrate as happy occasions. And this was called Megillas Tainis. Why was it called Megillas Tainis? They wrote down these Yom Tovs in a Megillah. So it was called a Megillah. But why was it called Megillas Tainis? It was called Megillas Tainis because since they were instituted as Yomim Tovim, they were days in which you were not allowed to fast. So ironically, they called it Megillas Tainis, not Megillas Loli Hisanos. But they called it Megillas Tainis because they wanted to teach people and show people and to preach to people that you should not be fasting on these days. And these were random days that we don't even really remember. There were a couple occasions that are mentioned in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, but otherwise we don't really have a formalized list as to all of the Yomim Tovim. But some of the famous ones which lasted are... Do you remember?
Chanukah and Purim.
Very good. Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim were institutionalized in the Megillas Tainis.
Tu
B'Shvat
not listed?
No. Tu B'Shvat is not listed. It's not listed. But Chanukah and Purim were listed, and those lasted. Those lasted. Because of the Persume Nisa aspect, they lasted beyond the others. And therefore, even though, as we said in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Batla Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis was Batla, and all of them were thrown away, and they were no longer commemorated. Nevertheless, Chanukah and Purim were different. Chanukah and Purim lasted, and they lasted beyond the Batlus of the Megillas Tainis. But in the Megillas Tainis, it said, Lahain. However, Kol Inish Deyaisi Alohi Mekadmas Dana Yesar. It says, in the Lashon of the Megillas Tainis, it said, Kolinish, any person, the Yaisi Alohi Makadmazdana, who had upon him from before this time. So, in the Megillas Tainis, when it mentioned all these Yom Tovim and it said, one is not allowed to fast on these days, it said, however, if a person had taken upon himself a fast from before this time, Yesar, he shall make it usher upon himself. Yesar, he should. Either he should make it asa for himself, or as Tosis understands, he shall remove himself, meaning he shall remove himself from this isser of fasting. So he's allowed to fast. But the Lashon of Yesar, says the Gemara, my love, Yesar atzmo bitzilo, the Lashon of Yesar sounds like you have to formally asa yourself. You have to formally make it forbidden. Is it not that you're making it formally forbidden, like in prayer, where it would be formalized? So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it really means to say. Ye'aser atzmo. It means that he shall, in the Lashon Nif'al, for those grammarians, it means that he shall make it forbidden. If he had accepted upon himself from beforehand, he shall make it forbidden, meaning he shall keep what was forbidden to him. But he doesn't have to actually make it a formal isser, like Shmuel says. So we tried to say that based on the Lashon of the Megillas Tainis, where it says Yesar, he must make a formal isser. Sounds like it's like Shmuel. We're making a formalized isser, like in prayer. Says the Gemara, no, that's not really what it means. It really means more like a passive isser, meaning he's already taken upon himself from months before or years before. Now all of a sudden we came up with this new Yom Tov. Yeyaser. It should still be forbidden to him to fast on this day, because he had accepted it upon himself to begin with.
Wait, it's forbidden for him to fast, yet he gets to do it?
It's forbidden for him to fast. It is forbidden for him to fast had he not had a fast upon him, because it was a Megillas Tainis. But if he had already accepted a fast from the times before this Yom Tov ever came to pass, ever came to being, then he may fast.
Grandfathered in.
He's grandfathered into the fast, if you will. Right? You should know about that as the accountant, grandfathered right. in. Yeah, you know all about that. Stop starting to speak your language. Okay. Grandfathered in. Thank you very much. Grandfathered in. So there you go. Granddaddy's in. Are you okay with that? Sounds like you're...
What is Lashon Yishol?
Passive. Like, it's like more of a passive, like, yes, sir, like, he shall be forbidden to it. But not that he is formally making it forbidden. To formally make it forbidden sounds like Shmuel, that he's like in a tefillah, which is a more formalized setting. He is taking upon himself a fast. Formal thing, right? Beautiful. Like it? Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
Pligi ba Rab Chia v Rab Shimon Berebi. Rab Chia and Rab Shimon Berebi argue about this very point. Chad amar yesar v'chad amar yeyaser. One of them says that the lashon is actually yesar, which is a formal prohibition, and the other one says no, it's more passive. And manda amar yesar. So the one who says, who learns it as yesar, so we understand that kedam rinan. That's as we just said, that it should be formalized. But lamanda amar yeyaser maihi. What does it mean that it should be a passive thing? What is passive? What is yeyaser? What does it mean that it should be a passive iser? D'tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, the Megillas Tainis, kol inish de yesi alohi mikan mazdana yeyaser. Anybody who had a fast upon him shall be forbidden. Ketzad. Like, what's the case of that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you a case. Yachad shekibel alav sheni v'chamishi. Let's say, for example, a person says, every Monday and Thursday, I'm going to fast. From here on out, Monday and Thursday is my day to fast. Shal kol hashana kula, for the entire year. Ve'iru bam yamim tovim, haksuvim b'megillas tainis. And all of a sudden, a happy occasion came about, and they instituted a Yom Tov in the Megillas Tainis for that particular day. And that particular day came out on a Monday or a Thursday. So, says the Gemara, it shall be forbidden, meaning it shall be forbidden for him to eat. He is not going to be allowed to eat because he was makabel fast from before. Im nidro kodem ligzera seinu, if he made a neder that he was going to fast before our gzera, before our Yom Tov came to being, Yevatel Nidros Gezira Seinu. His nether is going to supersede our Gzeira, meaning he wins. He wins! Ve'im Gzeira Seinu Kodemes L'Nidro. And if our Gzeira, meaning our Yom Tov, preceded his declaration that he's going to fast on Monday and Thursday. So let's say, for example, on January 1st, we made a Yom Tov, okay? And then on February 1st, the guy says, I'm going to take upon myself every Monday and Thursday to fast. And then it came to being that the Yom Tov that we declared happens to be on a Monday and a Thursday. Well, since our Yom Tov was declared before his Kabbalah's Tainis for Monday and Thursday, Tibata Gzera Seinu Es Nidro, our Gzera wins. So that's how it's going to work. If his Neder had preceded our Gzera, meaning our Yom Tov, that Aser Tainis, then he wins. Otherwise we win. Okay. The Gemara concludes, Tana Rabbanan, Ad Masai Ochel V'Shoseh. If a person accepts himself upon himself a Tainis Yachad, a regular fast, until what point may he eat and drink? Says the Gemara, Ad Sheyale Moroshachar, Shachar. He can go until Alos. Divi Rebbe, these are the words of Rebbe, but Rabbi Eliezer Bar Shimonimer ad kros hagever. It's until the rooster calls. What does the rooster say? Cock-a-doodle-doo. Once we get our cock-a-doodle-doo. What?
In English.
In English. In Hebrew?
I don't know. In French, it's cocorico.
Cocorico. Until he calls cocorico. Once he calls cocorico, that's it. So that's the machlokes, whether it's alos or the kros hagever. We pass it's alos ha-shachar. Amar Abaye. Now Abaye says, you want to tell me that you're allowed to eat all the way until Alus HaShachar. Lo shanu elo shalo gamar se'udaso. That's if only you did not complete your meal. So if you did not complete your meal and you're eating into the night and your meal is continuing, you may go until Alos HaShachar. However, Aval Gamar Su'udaso, if you finished your meal at midnight, Eino Ochel, you're not allowed to eat anymore. You're done for the night. You're finito. Kokoriko. Esve, says the Gemara, that's not true. It's not true that it's Taloyan finishing the meal, because Rava says, Gamar ve'amad harei ze ochel. Rava brings a braisa that says, if a person finished his meal and he stood up from his meal, he may continue to eat, presumably until Alos HaShachar. So how can you tell me that it's Taloyan when you finish your meal, when Rava brings the braisa that says it's not true? Even if a guy finishes his meal, he can continue to eat. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like, at least according to this braisa, we will bring that up. We'll bring that up. Tosis is going to bring that up on your Beis Amud Beis. We'll get there in a second. But at least now it doesn't seem like there even has to be a kavana. Meaning, even if a person decides he's done, it seems like he may continue to eat. The Gemara says, qualifies that and says, no, not necessarily. Hasam kishalo silek. That's a case where he was not misalik, meaning he did not remove the food from the table. He did not clear out the mappa, so to speak. So he still has the food on the table. Therefore, it shows, kind of like Reb Reiser is saying, it shows that he's not done. Even if he got up to stretch and take a walk, it doesn't mean that he's done because he still has the food on the table. He didn't clear anything out. So therefore, he may continue because he has not cleared the thing. But in a Hanami, if he has finished the meal, he's done. He's done for, and his night is over, and his fast officially starts. Ika da Amri, there are those that say it's actually totally not on the meal itself, but on something else. Amarava lo shanu ela kishlo yashan. That's only if he didn't sleep, meaning we're allowed to go until Alos HaShachar to eat. That's assuming that you did not sleep that night. However, aval yashan eino ochel. But once you went to sleep, you're done for. Now, I know Reb Reiser is going to say, well, what if you made it tonight? That when I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock a.m. and I'm going to see a thing. We're going to see that in a second. But as of now, it's totally on simply on if you went to sleep. If you went to sleep, you're done for. You're done. Eisvei says, the Eisvei Abaye brings a kasha. Yashan ve'amad, if a person sleeps and then wakes up, hareza ochel, he may continue to eat. So how can you tell me that when you go to sleep, you're done for, when this braisa says, it's not dependent upon that. So the Gemara says, hasam, no. When do we say that if a guy goes to sleep and wakes up, he may continue to eat? Hasam b'misnamne. That's where he is misnamne. He is dozing, right? He's dozing. What does it mean he's dozing? Heichidami misnamne. What does it mean to be dozing? Amar Rav Ashi, nim velo nim. You're sleeping, but you're not sleeping. Tir velo tir. You're awake, but you're not awake. It's kind of like what goes on in this year. Everybody's kind of in and kind of out. Dekari leiv ani. You call him, and he responds, right? If you call him, he's like kind of dozing. You call him, he responds. Velo yada ahuri svarab. He can't really answer you. It's like, you know, if you ask him, like, you guys go to the league, you ask him, like, who won the Yankees game, huh? And then you say, well, the Yankees. They're like, oh, the Chimitkar, really Midkar. And then when you remind him, he's like, oh, yeah, the Yankees won. So he's like, he's in and out. So if you tell him something, you're like, what? But then when you remind him, he's like, oh, yeah, now I know. So that's like a guy who is misnamne. If you're misnamne, then you're still in it. So if you're still in it, then you can continue to eat. But if you're gone, much like the people in this shit, then you are gone. You're done for. It is over. Well, half-half. Now, let's look at the... do I have time to... I've logged too. I'm not going to answer that. So
thanks for building me up here. Really, for those of us who are not completely dozed off...
This is more incentive. Anyway... If you look at the Tosas de Ramaskla Nim Velo Nim, I haven't completed the course yet. Nim Velo Nim, Tir Velo Tir. Look at Tosas at the very end of Tosas. It brings down on the fifth line from the end of Tosas. It brings down Obir Shalmi. He quotes a Yerushalmi over here, which is important. Rabbi Reisner had alluded to this. It would be Yerushalmi Mefurish, that's explicit in the Yerushalmi. Gabe Hach Breisa, by this Breisa, Ad Kama Ocha Veshosa, until what point may a person eat or drink? Ad Krosa Gether, until the rooster calls. Puerto Rico? What is it? Cocorico. Behuadin ad shayale amura shachar. The truth is, says Yerushalmi, it's really until alumura amura shachar. Ubamed var mamurim. And when do we say that you have until amura shachar? That's shehisne. That is if you made a specific tanai saying, I'm going to eat. I'm planning on eating. I'm planning on waking up and eating before alos. But if a person does not make a tanai, you don't make a condition, and you just go to sleep thinking, stam, I'm done for the night, like most of us think when you're going to sleep, we don't think that we're going to wake up before alos. So if you make it stam, v'yashin, you go to sleep, enu yachol lechol, you're done. You're not allowed to eat anymore. So even if you were to wake up before alos because the baby wakes you up, or just time you can't sleep, that's not a reason to eat. You're done for. You should make a specific tanai that I would like to wake up.
Even if the perua, you wake up before alos?
Good question. I would assume that if you bikvius wake up before alos, that would be the same thing as making a tanai. Because your intention is to wake up to eat. I would say that's good enough. But for further instruction, ask your local god. Or rabbi. Or the next rabbi. Good too. We'll stop here.
When you say your local god, that has this like...
Yes, it has. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Just ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Yeah, okay.